I'm insatiable. So I just like keep shoving things into my face, and I'll shove anything I can find in my face. So I've been eating a lot more like cookies, which I love, but like, it's just basic. It's just sugar and carbs, and I'm just shoving them into my face. And so I've developed a gut, and I am not happy with this gut because it's the type of gut where my frame is thin, but it sticks out to the point where I have that gap between like where my t-shirt and my waist would meet. So it's just like, so I get like an updraft. Yeah. And I'm not a fan of it because it's awkward. Okay. And like, I am already, I already have like OCD, compulsions. And so like, I keep pulling my shirt down. Like I'm constantly
longer shirts, those extra long shirts.
Welcome to the What is Black podcast, where we attempt to defy the myth of a black monolith. I'm your host, Jason McCoy. This podcast wouldn't be possible without your listenership, so please subscribe to us on all the podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcast and Spotify, and share with your friends and enemies. What is Black podcast is kept independent and ad-free thanks to your donations, so please find all the links on how you can help us keep this going by visiting whatisblackpodcast.com. Without further ado, let's break on in.
Swank in my white tee. What in my white tee? Because he like dresses. You remember that face?
Oh yeah, I didn't. I don't want to look like I'm in a Nelly video from
definitely 2000,
early 2000s. Yeah. But funny. I did see this article online written by a medical professional, and it was about like, you know, when the right time to go to the bathroom is, like after you eat, when the right time to go to the bathroom is. So like, do you know when the right time to go to the bathroom is?
When I have to pee.
Well, they say around poo 30 or pee o'clock.
Boom.
So you can share that one with Zoe.
I don't ever want to share that with her. She will never ever live that down. Poo 30 or pee o'clock.
Yes.
Sheba would love that.
Oh, that's right. Sheba does love like
poop conversations. Poop.
Or yeah, dad jokes and like talking about shit. I mean, I don't mind it. Are you a fan or are you just like?
Oh no, I'm indifferent. I mean, Carrie and I are friends, so we do talk about poop and farting, and we talk to each other while we're in the bathroom.
Right. You know. And it was funny because like pooping used to be like a communal type thing where people just like squat like around. Near each other? Yeah, well, at least in ancient Greece, it was just like a communal thing where they just had like squat huts where everybody just like sat around and chat. And it's become now this thing. It's like so taboo to talk about it.
That sounds like a counterintuitive mammal experience to poop near others.
I mean, isn't that what humans are, though? Like super counterintuitive most times.
Yeah. Just like, how is this mammal driving this spaceship into outer space?
It's like, that's they're pretty counterintuitive. Sitting and they're flying. That makes no sense.
Sitting and flying and possibly shitting at the same time.
All at the same time.
So counterintuitive.
Yet they have no wings.
With no wings.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Quiet time.
Welcome to the What is Black podcast. I'm sitting here with Alicia Dawn. Hello, Alicia.
Yeah. Hello. Hi. Good day. I'm sure you heard Carrie and I obsessively say that ridiculousness.
That's all I hear is like, I'll be in bed and it's like, 9-11 o'clock in the morning when they all have a meeting or right a pre-meeting warm up and they all like good day. It's just like, oh, that's it's Alicia. Carrie's work wife.
Yes.
So speaking of work, why don't you tell everyone what it is that you do?
Oh, we started?
Yeah, we've started. We started the moment you signed on, we started.
Okay. Well, my name is Alicia Dawn, and I'm a creative entrepreneur. I've spent my lifetime making and managing and curating and supporting arts and arts practices, with a side of movement and wellness, with a side of feminism and womanism. And so I am a mother of two small babies, and they influence all of my work because they're always around. And so, so everything that I do has a touch of toddler marker on it. And I think it gives everything a little bit more flavor in this season.
A touch of toddler marker. So you brought, like, you just, in your description of what you did, you brought up like something that I'm familiar with, but I'm not sure if many people listening are familiar with. You said that you involve feminism and womanism. So what is the difference between feminism and womanism?
Womanism, so most people are familiar with feminism, which is like, AKA like girl power, people who identify as women or femme can basically do whatever they want, you know, no limitations. And womanism actually includes a racial and ethnic lens, in particular thinking about Black women and femmes who are marginalized and often left out of the feminist movement. And so, yeah, just and some people, you hear that word, yes, and you don't know, but it's just this commitment towards equity for Black women and femmes.
Right. More than equality, which, like that, I feel like the equality boat has sailed and we need to start approaching like the shores of equity.
The shores of a whole lot.
Yeah. Equity just being one thing.
Yeah. Equity is awesome. Just even beginning to just acknowledge what is happening and getting to humanity, just receiving everyone's humanity as humane as opposed to an extracurricular activity.
Right. I mean, it would go to reason that, like, you know, we're all humans and yet some of us are considered less than or 3/5 of a human being still to this day.
Yeah. Still. Yeah. It's interesting. I was just like thinking of this, I guess it's an author. I don't remember this person's name. He was a Black man and he was talking about race the way you would hear someone who is kind of like a far right wing person, and basically saying that, just having some really interesting views about race. And it made me really think about how sometimes folks ignore the history of race. Mm. You know, when you say 3/5, it made me go back to like, yeah, those were laws.
Yeah, actually on the books.
On the book,
yeah.
You know? And how, because we aren't currently living in that space and we've experienced quite a bit of progress and movement, but there's so much residual impact that can't be ignored from those things that were written down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always wonder if, like, you know, like if this is being taught to kids these days in schools, and it's not just Black children, but like all children, if they're all learning, like, this is what was actual law. Because I was astounded, like, you know, like some of the things that kids just aren't learning nowadays that I was learning in grade school. And I'm just like, what happened to the curriculum?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity for growth there. Thinking about what people are learning in school, I was looking, there was an article and from a Delaware school district, I believe, that I shared because there was a person who, a yoga teacher who was doing a Black history lesson through yoga. And basically, are you familiar with that?
No, I'm kind of cringing though. I don't know where this is going
That's
to go.
That's right. Just cringe the whole time. And I'm just thinking like what people are being taught in school. It's just like really inaccurate information. You know, and so they were teaching, this woman was talking about how Africans came from the country, quote, of Africa and came over on a boat. And she said, now let's all try boat pose.
Oh, fuck.
I think the article was on the route that I first saw, but it linked back to the original one in Delaware. But it was like, yeah, someone just taught slave yoga for Black History Month.
Oh, God. So did they have like everybody lay like head to toe next to each other and try to get as close as possible?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Probably. If they were in person... Oh my goodness! Now, oh, see, I'm going to end those jokes in my head right there because they're all inappropriate.
But surprised, like nobody. I don't know if they did, but I'm surprised nobody's done that yet. Where it's just like, okay, now we're going to lay down how the slaves laid down.
I know. I'm like, is this person fired? Like, are you? Still there?
What is that pose? Like zombie pose or something?
Corpse pose,
yeah.
Which is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did she end that lesson? I mean...
It's awful.
It was an awful place to be, yeah. It was... at least there was an appropriate response from the media. I didn't see anybody defending this person online. But, you know, I'm sure if you dig deep enough, you'll find.
That's the thing, especially now, like... If you dig like just beneath the surface, like you'll find somebody just
page
like
in the Google,
like that one chick who I saw it on Instagram originally, but she was a poet. I believe she was like a poet or like a writer of like children's literature. And it was like I'm sorry. It baffles me so much that I can't help but laugh. But I forgot what the type of writing or the style where you put like the beginning, like the first letter of each line spells a word.
Like an acronym?
Yeah. But like it's like written out in sentences.
Yeah.
So she put like it was a poem about little Black girls. But the first line in each of the first line, letter of each line in a poem spelled out N-I-G-G-E-R. And then at the end of it, she says, and what do you see? Do you see a nigger? Because I see a powerful Black woman. It's just like,
goodness.
White people, please.
You failed again.
Why do you not have Black friends? And if you do, they are not your friends to allow you to do something like
that. They are not your friends.
Those aren't your friends. They try to set you up.
Mm-mm, they sure they did.
And then so she went on an apology tour afterwards, how she was saying, like, it was supposed to be affirming and empowering.
You know what? What it was supposed to be, just skip that part. Just say sorry. That was really, really insensitive and stupid.
Yeah.
And I wish I hadn't done it because now everyone knows.
Precisely. It's like
that's how they feel. You know, it's like not just sorry. It's just like, no, now everyone knows. But anywho.
Just say like I fucked up. Yeah. But it's I guess you have to be like a really big person to say like I fucked up nowadays, especially.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you know, you get shamed pretty hard by the world. And so there's quite a bit of like emotional intelligence you need to navigate that world of being shamed by something that you've done wrong, which is shameful.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. Sometimes things I think need to be, you need to be shamed out of some behaviors because they're so violent. Mm. And sometimes just like, well, okay, how do we not make this person feel awful forever and allow them to actually move forward and grow? So it's a middle ground there.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like that other part. It's just like it's forgiveness is hard as shit. Like it's one of those things where it's just like, should I, shouldn't I, can they be forgiven? But like, it's a like I don't know. It's a situational grace I show.
Interesting language. Situational grace. I want to start using that. Situational grace.
Because it's just like some behaviors and it's some people like, you know, I can be like, all right, cool. But then other times I'm just like, nah, I just can't. The vibe is gone. Like, I can't deal with that anymore.
You know what? I think that's real. I think some people have the ability to hold that space. You know, and some people are like, I'm turned off and I don't want to be here anymore. And it just makes my stomach hurt to interact, you know?
Right.
So I think that's okay too. But, you know, got to work it out.
Yeah.
Build community, have relationships, love one another, all that jazz, and stay accountable.
Yeah. You know? I mean, but it's so difficult.
This is hard.
And speaking of difficult things, you are an artist, you're an entrepreneur, you're an inventor, you're a mother, you're basically when they have like et al at the end of sentences, that's what you are. You're et al.
I am all that stuff.
So as like a working creative parent, is there such a thing as truly having it all? Or is that something that's been made up by a marketing team somewhere?
That's definitely made up. I was actually just thinking like maybe 5 minutes before this call about how I wanted to go back to school. And I tried to do it a few years ago, but it just did not work with my life and child schedule. And I literally said, I can't do it. Like, I can't go back to school. And, you know, I was encouraged by some other people like, yes, you can. And I looked at them like in the eye, like, I can't. Like, my children are up every night. Like, you know, there's a certain phase of their development where they just grow exponentially and they do it by screaming into the universe 20 hours out of the day and never sleeping. They're like, oh, it looks like, the stars are aligning. My child's developing speech. Look. And he's just screaming and like flies are coming out of their mouth. It's just like really intense. And it's just like, is your jaw unlocking? Why are you so loud? But my children were just in a phase of being up all the time. And I was running Yoga Motive, the business. And I was like, I can't go back to school, even though I really feel in my heart that I do want to go back to school. And I gave up. But then recently, I thought, oh, I just think that there's just a different season for me for me to pursue school again. And I am actually applying to some places, maybe, you know, who knows? There has to be a lot that needs to be aligned for me to go back.
Right.
Or I'm thinking about applying anyway. And so I was like, I think that you can have it all, but it has to be timed well. You can't have it all at the same time. And I know I'm not the first person to say that. I feel like Michelle Obama said that or something. I'm serious. Like, I think someone told me that Michelle Obama said it. So I don't even know. So I'm like, I don't know who really said this, but I know it wasn't me. But it made me think about just really taking my time because I can't like rush through my time with my kids. Not that I don't try or want to, but it just makes my stomach hurt to like try and rush them because they're like all cute. And I think there's some real like primitive reactions that I'm having to them. Like, baby, no, take your time. I just look you in the eye while the world is on fire behind us, you know?
Right.
So I just think doing things in the right timing. And I think that you can get to maybe not at all, but the things that you need. But when you try to do it all at the same time, yeah, that doesn't work. It can't work at all. I've used to bring my children to places with me, like, oh, galleries, well, you know, and they would just, again, scream, touch people. I took Zoe who was my oldest, to a group fitness class when she was maybe 1.5. It was like a step class, which is like my favorite class. I mean, I really want to be like an 80s workout instructor. Like that's like my, in my heart. That's my spirit.
Right.
My spirit animal. Like
is aerobics instructor or?
Like a step.
Oh,
like
step. Okay.
A step aerobics instructor. Like, come on now, go lift those knees. Like, right, that's right. Me. That's okay. My spirit. But anyway, I was in that class and Zoe went in there and she sat on everyone's step one at a time and looked at them while they're on it. And then she like got her little milk, walked to somebody else and like sat on it. And I was like, this is really annoying. Like, I'm like, I'm trying to work out. I gave you all of these toys and you might get stepped on by a stranger and right. Everybody thinks he's cute, but it's actually making me very stressed because all these seats are dirty. You're sitting on dog poop around the whole gym. Anyway, I was having some rational and irrational fears and I thought, you know, I can't work out in this way anymore. Working out has to be different, you know? And so I kind of rearranged my schedule so that like I made sure she went to bed on time at 8. And then I would go to the gym for like 45 minutes after because they closed at 9. Anyway, right. So I just think you got to time it.
Yeah.
You know?
And like the way you phrased it was like, was really dope. It's finding like a season for everything because it is about like, you know, like things wax and wane just like every season, like, you know, like moments wax and wane. And so like there, the time to do that thing, like say going back to school or whatever, like while it's like waning now by like in 4 months or whatever, or when your like children are grown, like then mm-hmm. it will wax and you can say like, okay, now I have time to go back to school. And then really think like, do I actually still want to go back to school? Or
yeah,
was that just like a thing I was just like thinking up because I couldn't go back to school at the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like also just taking the time. Like I remember there's this designer that he spoke to a lot of creatives because creatives tend to just get into this mode where they want to do everything or just do like a bunch of things at once. Like they want to do all, I want to run a business and do the design and also make the website and like do all these like, you know, 50,000 things at once. And it's just like, you have to do the things that serve you. So it's just like, you take the time and say like, is this serving me? And if it's not serving you, then you like, unfortunately, like don't completely shut it down. Just put it on a shelf for now, you know, look back up on that shelf, dust it off every now and then. But remember, like, that's not going to serve you at this juncture. Do the things that serve you. And that's something like I've just fairly recently started to adopt into my daily habits. It's just like, if a project comes along, I have to ask myself, does this serve me? Taking this project on serve me? Because I know it'll serve my clients, but like, is it going to serve me? And if it doesn't, then I'll just be like, nah, I'm sorry, I can't do this, but I know other people who can take this on.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to NPR today, and I don't know, I'm not, you know, some of those people are like, I can name this person and this actor and this athlete. That's not me. So I'm just going to be like, you know, this person over here said something once. Like that's
right.
That's what I'm going to say.
So like, I think Michelle Obama.
I think it was her, maybe. I don't know. You know, have you heard of her? Like, but like literally, I was listening to a person on NPR today, and it was this musician. That's it. I don't know anything else. And they were, the interviewer was asking them, how do they choose, how do they make music? How do they know what to do? And he said he follows the goosebumps. And I was like, ooh, that's all I needed from today. Because, you know, like, you know, when you get those goosebumps in your life and your conversation and in your work. And I think that we all do follow those goosebumps, right? But to name it, you know, I always think about it as like a spiritual affirmation sometimes when things are happening, like this feels like the thing I'm supposed to say or the thing I'm supposed to do. But to name it in that way, in a more, you know, grounded physical way, I was like, yeah, that's it. You know, like the things that serve me, the things I'm supposed to be doing are letting go. You know, whenever you want to send a text and you're feeling no,
yep.
No, don't, not now. That's that's a bad idea.
That's every text for me. So
that's a bad idea. Okay, well, every text for you. Well, I'm sure there are other scenarios and other things where you might get some goosebumps. But yeah, with this creative practice, it can be, you know, you might want to do a lot, but you know, my little ones have, that's why I say they're a part of my job, and they influence it, is because they are so much work, and just in general, like they're like the best and the most fun, but they require so much. They're like little frogs of the rainforest. Mm. Like if one thing happens and they start changing colors and flipping all, you know what I mean? They're like, we know that the world is dying because these three frogs lost their legs in 1927. And that predicted this, you know, tsunami 25 years later. You know what I mean? They're just so sensitive.
Butterfly effect.
They're just so sensitive. So because they're so sensitive and how they need to be cared for, it just has required me to be really attuned into my own actions and how I carry my own life and how I take care of myself and them. That rejects bad decisions. Just rejects, like, you know, if someone says, I mean, people might email me and with cold emails, like, hey, I want to do this thing with you. Like, there's no waste of time. I'm like, no, I don't have that. I don't have a lot of time. If I have 3 hours of childcare, I can't spend it on someone who's a maybe or a can I pick your brain or a, that's not like the goosebumps aren't there and very clear. So, that like feeling of doing too much, how I still have those feelings of, I want to do, but I resolve it now with, I literally just write it down on my iPhone, on my notepad. There's literally a list of things I want to do.
Right.
And I've been keeping this list for like 3 years or 5 years. It's been a minute, however long I've had an iPhone. And I realized like a year ago that I eventually checked like a lot of that stuff off the list that I would write years before. So all in good time.
Yeah. It's like making, I mean, I make a shit ton of lists too. Like I've got lists on lists on lists. Like I have lists of lists.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's like, oh, I have to remember that or add that later, especially when I'm in the middle of writing. I'll come up with ideas for the end before I even have a beginning or middle. So I have to just like, you know, put a pin in that and then come back, like, you know, keep referring back to it. And I think like keeping lists is like extremely important but like you have to do it in a way where you don't feel bad or ashamed if you don't accomplish like the things that are on your list. That's why I just like write a list and I forget about it. And then like I'll stumble upon it when I'm going through something, and like similar to you, it's just like, oh shit, I did that. Like, oh, okay, cool. Because it takes that pressure off.
Congratulations.
It's something so satisfying about like checking something or just like drawing a line through something. It's just like, yes, you're dead. Like I destroyed you.
It's gone. Yeah,
for real. How do you balance work, life, children, or is that another myth? Like, is it impossible to truly find balance and you just kind of make it up as you go along?
Yeah, the latter. It's all made up. You know, there are moments where things feel great and you're like vibing and you got your stride. And it's like, if you've ever run or I don't know, played a sport, I really haven't played sports, but I have like in my adult life picked up running. If you're like, you find your like your groove, your breath, and you can like, I used to run marathons, 2 marathons. I don't know if that means like I'm a marathoner. I was like, ran 2.
Right.
Did a bunch of halves. And there's a moment like even now at the beginning of every run for the first 30 or 45 minutes that I'm completely out of breath the whole time. Like no matter how in shape I am, it's awful. And then right at that point, you find your body like just, this is weird, like it's like this transform. It's like, you are here. You have arrived.
Right.
And I can run for hours after that. Like, I've even not training for the marathon, I'm able to run maybe 2 hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours, just like nonstop after that. Cause your body just kind of gets into this lovely, just motion of, this is what we're made to do. Everything is good. And then, you know, you go down again, and kind of, that's kind of how the balance is for parenting. Like, you, it just sucks for a while.
I mean,
and then it gets really good and you get a groove, and then it goes back down, and then you start again the next day, and it's like, oh, this is hard. It's like, oh, everybody's happy. There's no tears, no tantrums. And then it sucks again. So, yeah.
Yeah. Someone who's like, I'm not a particular fan of children. they're just not my cup of tea, not my forte. But I would often hear people say, like, oh, when are you having kids? I'm just like, what? Sorry. And it's just like, oh, that's like, don't you think you're being a little selfish? Like, you know, you should share with the world. Like, share what? Like, I mean,
there's so many wonderful parts of your ancestors that have paid, they've tried so hard for you to be here.
Oh yeah, so I could pass on like the depression, the anxiety.
Yeah, that's right. The world needs you.
All the trauma, take out my trauma on them.
Pass out that trauma.
That's like, I feel like for other people, that's great. But for me, just like probably not, or at least I don't feel like I'm ready for that yet. But like other people, like so many people often say like, oh, you know, having a child is the greatest joy in life, or like, it's always a pleasure bringing this life into this world, and all this like positive affirmation bullshit about having kids. And it's just like, yo, stop making it seem like having kids is great all the time.
Yeah. Like, it's not great all the time.
It's like, I feel it's rewarding, but like,
yeah, it's very rewarding. But it's not great all the time. And I don't know, like, I used to be a teacher, and technically I still am a teacher, but I used to teach K-12 like every day. And I loved kids even then, but I wasn't always clear about my own or having my own. But even then I would be like, I didn't really get it. Like parenting, like how people would, come on, Billy, what's wrong? Talking to the kids all like cute and sweet, getting bullied and stuff. And I'd just be like, what is up with how people parent? But then I turned into like that parent that does that. And something happens when you have it, when I had a child anyway, that again, it was like this primitive thing that turns on that has to happen, because otherwise people will probably just like leave their children immediately. But like something that happened was like, there was just like, I loved, it was like the most real love that I've ever felt. And it was like the most primitive, like, oh my God, this is love here. And it's really, you can't explain it. But it was, to experience like your love doing all these really cute things all the time. And like Zoe has all her little fart jokes and her little sayings, and she's like the cartoon toddler, or she's 5 now, but she'll, one thing she said to my partner, went up to him and was like, she always goes, look at me, watch this, and does something really mundane. Look at me. And she like, does a chicken dance. Look at me. She like, I wiggle my toes, like literally. And like, she's waiting for celebration. And she said to Damon, hey daddy, watch this. And he looked at her and she just stared into space. And he said, okay, Zoe, what is it? And she said, my heart is beating. And she said, I can feel it. And then she said, it's getting faster. And it was like, but that was her. She was just like, you know, like, look at this. Like, my heart is beating, daddy. Well, look at these acorns. Wow, I drew a line, you know? And I don't know. That's so small. But there's a lot of moments that are just witnessing things that are really beautiful, that is nice. And then, you know, there's moments where literally, she cries so loud that I think that her jaw is going to unhinge and flies are going to come out. I was like, is this the apocalypse? It's here, isn't it? Because it's so loud. And she's really loud. So yeah, this sucks sometimes and it's great other times. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I can enjoy other people's children. Because I'm there for like the parts where they're saying, look at this, my heart's beating. And I think it's like, you're such a little weirdo. I love you. And then once they start crying, I was like, all right, peace out. And I don't have anything to do with them after that.
Yeah,
and I
think that, love for that
that feeling is great for me. So like other people's kids are cool, but I don't want to have to deal with that like 24/7, 365.
Yeah, it's rough. You need a whole yoga practice for that.
Yeah. Switching into that, so you started out in ceramics, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you navigate from ceramics to yoga to creating your own yoga-related invention to owning your own studio and then bringing it back to a more like visually creative form in digital art?
Yeah. Well, during this season of pandemic life, there's been a lot of time to reflect. And one thing that I learned about myself is the attraction to creative embodied practices. And so ceramics and clay and the wheel, hand building and mixing clay, like the whole process of making a piece in with your hands requires your whole body.
Mm.
Like it requires your back. It requires, especially if you're on the wheel, you have to be really grounded, either literally connected to the ground so that your hands stay steady. Like your hand is connected to, is grounded by your elbow, which is against your knee, like you're in a squat and then you're like, boom.
Right.
So like it requires your body to be very intentional. And the same thing to other types of clay methods. And I think that physical practice was really challenging and really, it was really celebratory too, because once you made it through all those steps, you had this beautiful or ugly thing that you did with your body. And I think, excuse me, I think I've always been attracted to physical movement and healing. Mm-hmm. And ceramics was the beginning of that. Drawing and painting, I do digital arts right now. And I'll go back to the things in the middle, mostly because of this pandemic. And I have my iPad and it's the only thing that I can like lock and put away. I have a lot of other things here. Like this room that I'm in is filled with lots of canvases and stretcher bars and materials, like yarn. Like there's so much, there's like a whole bunch of stuff in here, but I can't really access those things easily with my children because, for many months they were here 24/7 and my children throw things. I can't walk them out of this room. Like they throw things up and down and around. This is also like, it's like the spare room. It's like the yoga room, the playroom, the things, you know.
Right.
So especially, you know, when we were just in quarantine, like we all needed to figure out a way to make these spaces work together.
Right.
So that's kind of how I jumped all the way from the physical practice to this digital practice. And that's really been a challenge for me. Because I don't have a, like my body is steady, but my hands are not steady.
Mm.
So drawing is work. It is very stressful. I was trying to do some hand lettering the other day and I had to breathe. I really had to walk myself through it to not like just stop and put it down because I can draw, but it's just, it's more stressful. It's always been more stressful than making something with my hands. Like I have, my background's also in like wood and metal, which is like, again, physical practices.
Right.
And so that's how I kind of jumped over from clay to like these digital illustrations. But in the middle, there was always lots of movement, like running, like marathons, forcing my friends literally to run marathons with me. Like I didn't play really any sports in any academic setting. But then whenever I graduated from grad school, I started running. I think I read this book, which is probably, if I read it again, it's probably riddled with like racism. It's called Born to Run. It's about people in maybe South America somewhere who run as a way of life. Mm. But if I read it right now, I'd probably notice a bunch of really inappropriate references to like people, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like
outside. Why'd he call him a nigger? He didn't even have to say that.
Why did I not see it? You know, the rose colored glasses were still on, I guess. But right. Anyway, that book was like, oh, our bodies are made to run. I was like, well, I need to do something because I like to move. I forced all my friends to run. Well, I was running with them, and then I signed up for the marathon. You didn't ask me this question, but I signed up for the marathon. Then I sent my friend the confirmation, and it's the person I tried to force to do everything with me at the time. Mm-hmm. She was I've known her since middle school. And she literally just responded like, like as if I was like, I mean, clearly she could just say no, but she knew that I was just going to hound her. Anyway,
right.
I was always attracted to group spaces where we move and laugh together. Cause we would train for a marathon. You run like 3 or 4 days a week,
right.
Many, many hours. So we spent a lot of time together. We would call it running errands. So we would just run around the city. We would make pit stops and like graph, okay, we're going to stop at Walgreens here. We're going to stop at this Giant Eagle. We would just go in, get like a snack, and then we would run again. Like we would never carry water, just money.
Right. Like sweaty money.
Sweaty money. Sounds gross. Anyway, so that's like always the background feeling in my life. And so after ceramics and after art school, I stopped making art because it was traumatizing for me. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to understand that I really need to feel my art, and I wasn't making art for other people.
Right.
So they took that embodied practice from me. Well, I don't know. I just kind of was like, sure, I can go through these assignments, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this isn't fun. Anyway, stop making art. And I went back into arts management and all these things. And then I had children, and I found myself like expressing like breast milk. I was like nursing my child, but I was like on an airplane in a bathroom. I was flying around the country at the time for work. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I always like joke. So just imagine someone jerking off their boobs in the airplane bathroom with milk coming out into a cup. Like that's wrong. All that's wrong.
That's wrong. Well, when you put it like that, yeah, it sounds very wrong.
That's wrong. It's called hand expressing milk. But I was like, this all feels wrong because it just, I don't think I should be doing it this way. So it was like that moment that I remember thinking I should probably quit my job and find another way. And it was around the same time I was in a yoga teacher training with Yoga Roots on Location and Felicia Savage Freeman. And it was an embodied practice that made me follow the goosebumps away from my current job, which was fabulous at the time. And I started my own, Yoga Motive because I had this idea of what happens when you paint with your body. And I thought about it years before, and I saw somebody was kind of doing it already, but they were getting really messy. I think she's in Chicago. And I said, oh, somebody's already doing this. I don't need to do this. But then I kept coming back up, and I was like, you know what? I got to just do it. I just got to do this. It sounds silly, but it keeps coming back up, and I'm going to regret not trying it.
So right.
I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it hard and all the way. So I made these masks by hand. I pursued a provisional patent. And I'm in the middle of that now. And we did all these embodied art making practices similar to what ceramics was for me years before. And I only opened the studio to try it out.
Mm.
And because I was like, I need my own space to do it. And I want to be able to have a bank account associated with this business.
Right.
So I can do this stuff with ease. And so here we are. It's a long story.
Nah, I mean, it's a good one though, because it's, when I first heard about the, like the yoga mats that you like used to paint, I couldn't wrap my head around it. And I like tried to visualize all the ways that like, how the hell you, how you use yoga and paint, what? And then when I finally saw it, I was just like, ah, okay, now it makes sense. And it also it's just like, it's a good thing that you're getting that patented, because it was just like some shit that's just like, if somebody, if it were to get in somebody else's hands, they would just like, you know, like take it and run with it. So it's, I'm glad that like, you know, you have like the patent on it, because it's like, it's dope. And I can't wait to see like where you take it, because it would be like, I can see it used in so many like different places, like just going beyond like classes to like, like, you know, it being becoming a part of like high school, like school curriculum, and like taught as like an art, you know, using your body as the instrument and the medium, etc. And just like combining all these different types of curriculums with it, like, you know, like drama or like even like, you know, athletics. Like, it's just a dope ass thing. And I'm speaking in circles because it's just like, because like, as you know, I'm want to do, my brain just starts to go brick, 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 like rapid fire. It's like a Mac 10. So it's just like all these mind bullets are being shot. But this is a good segue into another thing I wanted to make sure we talked about, is your superpower in finding other people's superpowers. So you, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this concept, but like you're like a living embodiment of the Terrigen Mists from Marvel Comics. So by the look
I'm
on
not
your
familiar.
Okay. So the Terrigen Mists, there's this group, there's this race of there's this race of people called the Inhumans. And they basically, they come about their powers by being exposed to these crystals that are then, like, you heat water up to a certain temperature and you splash it on the crystals and it makes this mist. And this Terrigen Mist is what awakens their powers. So they walk around like normal human beings, like all times, like regular ass Homo sapiens. And then once they get exposed to this mist, that's when their powers manifest. This, the Black Bolt is the name of the main character. And when he speaks, he can like basically destroy universes by just speaking. So like he never speaks. He just communicates telepathically, because if he was to speak, anything in its in his path would just be completely destroyed. So it can be like super powerful stuff to like that, to just like your skin turning green and you growing scales. And like, that's it. And like, yeah. And that's it. Like, that's your power, your inhuman power. So like when you and Carrie were working and like, you know, took me through the process, that was the first thing I thought of. It's just like, oh, I'm being exposed to the Terrigen Mist right now. And I'm becoming an inhuman.
Oh, that's funny.
So how do you go, like, what's the process that goes through your head when you're like, you meet somebody for the first time, whatever, and you see that they have a superpower? Like, how do you bring it out of them?
Well, you know, I think it comes back to follow the goosebumps type of thing. Like there's, I don't know, when I'm interacting with people, it's seeing potential is always very clear. And sometimes I've learned, sometimes that can be really intrusive and harmful, right? If someone's like, everybody doesn't want to hear, you know what you should be doing. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's what's so cool, because it's like, it's not that. It's just it's like, no, so many people have told me, you know what you should do. I'm just like, fuck off. Like, leave me alone. But yeah, like, when you say that, it's not like that.
It's not like that. You're right. It's not like that. But, and because I also am very like sensitive to that. Because my mother is that sometimes, even though I love her dearly. So So I get like this, I don't know, seeing potential is very, has always been very clear. And I really check in, like I, in my own brain, and I'm like, I see what this person could be doing instead of what they're saying. Or I see where, not maybe not instead of what they're saying, but to enhance whatever they have just said to me or whatever, I don't know, skill set that they have demonstrated. Mm-hmm. And then I go, should I say that? I say it like in my brain, like, should I say that? Is that like, I have to check in because again, I don't want to be like intrusive.
Right.
And if I get that like affirmation, like, oh yeah, they need to hear this right now. I just tell them, I don't know. That doesn't sound as magical as the Terrigen Mist.
Well, you could just start saying your Terrigen Mist.
I just start expressing my Terrigen Mists all around, but it's mostly like
that's like jerking off your boobs. You just like,
I know, it's just like, this is not right. But it's just really making space for people to feel comfortable sharing in ways that aren't judgmental. And also being very direct, because again, like my children influence my time. Mm-hmm. So I don't have time for like most times in this season, I don't have time to not be honest mm-hmm. with people about things I'm saying, or for them to, or to walk them down the therapist's path that therapists can take you through. So what do you think? How might you, it's just like, skip all that.
Right.
This is what I'm seeing in you in this moment. You don't have to take it, but this is here. And here's some opportunities that you might want to consider. And I don't even know how to use that superpower most of the time, because it's consistently like accurate, but it mostly feels like here's some ideas for your life, for your whole life. And I was just talking to someone on the phone that I was helping them with some work, like kind of unrelated to my... him, I was laughing because it was like definitely out of scope of my current work, but it was like, yeah, this is fun, I can support you. And it was another like, oh, here, let me help you realize your superpowers. I know this is what you are doing, but this is what you could be doing. And isn't that just a gift though, to like, I don't know, find clarity in your work? You know, I wish I could give that to myself, but Carrie does that for me sometimes.
I mean, that's always the wildest shit, is that you can never do the thing you're good at to yourself. Like, you know, you can't really, like, great barbers can't cut their own hair. Like, you can't really massage yourself because it doesn't feel the same. And it's like, you can't, like, work your superpower on yourself.
No, it doesn't work the same way. Mm-hmm. But helping people find their superpowers, I think it's, you know what, when it was really effective when I taught high school.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. An ideal place to inspire superpowers. Just like, hey, you know what? Skip the 5 years of whatever you're about to do. And why don't you try engineering? I noticed you like math. I noticed your spatial intelligence is quite advanced. You know?
Yeah. Like pulling anything out of teenagers is like near impossible. It seems at times. It's just like, because the times that I've communicated with teenagers, it always seemed like nothing was registering. Like they were just like, whatever, bro, like, and not caring. And it wasn't until like days later or weeks later that I found out that, like, oh shit, I really reached them. Like, and a tear falls from my eye.
Yeah. They hurt me.
And I think they're doing that shit on purpose.
Yeah, they do.
Assholes.
They're like, I'm going to pretend like I don't care. And another thing about the superpower is, which feels like a very subtle superpower when I say it, but it feels really amazing when you say it. It's just like you're acknowledging people's and bringing out their superpowers. And I'm like, yeah, I just listen. And then I go, should I say this? And then I say it. It's like... I'm amazed. I'm easily amazed by things.
Right.
And I really feel like people can actually do anything. Like really, like inside.
Right.
I'm like, no, you can do this. And I think people feel that energy. And I'm like, and I actually believe it. It's just like, you don't have to, if you don't want that, you can leave. Like, like you don't understand. You can do whatever you want, you know? And right. I just, and I think that that energy of sincere, like, I think you can be, you are magic, and you can just unleash that to the world is like really there too. Cause I'm always like, you know, you're familiar with my quitting energy. It's just like, you don't have to take this.
Right.
Leave that behind. Find yourself.
Move on. Yeah. So I have an idea. It's based off of what we just said. What if when we're able to start seeing people out in the world again, like face to face, what if you just, you had like a crystal and you had like a lighter and then you just had like water and like a special vial or something like that. Yeah. And then you heat up the crystal. Don't say anything. Just heat up the crystal. People are like, what are you doing? And then like pour water on it. And as the steam, the mist comes off of it, it's just like, now I'm going to unlock your power.
Yes, I am here to unlock your powers for the universe. And then, Alicia will lose all of her contracts. And I'm like, she's really a hippie. We thought she was just woke, but she's actually live. She is like living off the earth in the way that is not cute.
In the very ugly way.
In the very ugly way. Funny.
All right. So as we come to a close, I'd like to know if you have anything you'd like to promote or plug, put out into the universe.
This one's so fast. Always visit yogamotive.com, spelled like yoga motif, and check out our virtual studio. We offer yoga, including prenatal yoga, regular Hatha yoga classes, on demand and live stream available. And then follow us on Instagram. I'm the one who's behind the Instagram, but hopefully that will not be me forever. You know, you can't do everything.
Right.
But I'm excited that we just reached 2,000 followers, which is not a lot for some, but a lot for me.
Clap that up.
My abilities.
Right.
And so you can be 2001. You know, I choose you. whoever's listening, you can be Instagram follower 2001. So follow us on Instagram at Yoga Motive. Spread the word. One of the things I do is thinking about creativity as a wellness practice and all the ways that we can invite this, our lives, to be a little bit more happy and well and full of ease. And so, there's a lot of options for that. And then in the future, we're going to do our yoga paint party workshops once again. And so visit us on our website, sign up for the waiting list to learn more about that process. And hopefully you'll be able to buy one soon and integrate that into your classroom or your summer camp, which is like my favorite place to do yoga paint party workshops, and just in your life in general. Wouldn't it have been nice if I had them done during this season where everybody's at home?
That would have been like,
would have been nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I can't wait. What I wanted to say before is I can't wait until it gets to a point where artists are actually using this as their medium. Like they're using it as not just like, you know, it's just another thing to do, but I make all my art using like your yoga mats. That's where I was trying to go before the mind bullet started spraying everywhere.
Oh, yoga. You're a yoga motive, yoga painting artist. What's your medium? Yoga paint?
Right.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. That's what, eventually I got there, but that's what I wanted to say.
You know what? Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for arriving. That's better late than never.
And finally, what is black?
What is black? I guess that's something I'd have to address eventually, huh? Being black is really like this beautiful combination of like this ancestral lineage of the diaspora, you know, from our African continent and just like the rich history that lies within us and that influences our everyday practices. And I think that that looks different depending on the person, but it's just like, honestly, this lineage of creativity and survival and like love and joy and commitment that is just like expressed differently in everyone's life, you know? And I think it's just like honoring that history in your everyday practices or in your, you know, monthly practices that kind of acknowledges your Blackness.
Great. Well, thanks again for sitting and talking with us. Yeah, whatever, bro.
Whatever.
What she said.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Cool.
No, that's just my... I get in trouble for my tone all the time because I pretty much only have one tone. Two, if you count me being excited, which is just like slightly louder.
Oh, it was like excited.
And yeah. That was it. So I get in trouble for that shit all the time. But...
Okay.
Great. I had an awesome time speaking with you, Alicia.
Oh, there it is.
Thanks.
Oh, that feels real and authentic with you.
All right. Take care.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No problem. Bye.